Oh, that's how you're doing it.
Oh,
I was wondering how you were.
You know me, Austin, too prepared. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Co-op Land Economic Development Podcast, brought to you by Wabash Valley Power Alliance. You can hear a new voice today. This is Rachel Huser filling in for Brian Anderson, our normal host. We have an amazing interview set up for you all today as we interview Patrick Hoban, the Executive Director of Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council that serves McLean County, Illinois. Located within WVPA member Corn Belt Energy Territory, Bloomington Normal is home to the manufacturing facility of Rivian Automotive, alongside many other major manufacturing and industrial partners. Together, they have transformed the community over the past few years. So today's sessions focus on the importance of attracting workforce, residential attraction, and all the happenings going on in the community with Patrick. Hope you enjoy.
Well, hello, 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 Co-op Land listeners. This is Rachel Huser filling in for Brian Anderson, and we have a wonderful guest today, Patrick Hoban, with the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. Patrick, do you want to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about your background?
Sure. My name's Patrick Hoban. I am the CEO here at the Bloomington Normal EDC, and I got my start about 16 years ago in economic development. My background was in real estate development down in Decatur, Illinois, and I also worked for an advertising agency. And back then, we used to use Monster.com. My resume was online, and the local EDC said, if you know marketing and you know real estate, we want to hire you to come sell the whole town. So it was this unknown land of economic development. I had heard the buzzword quite a bit, but didn't really know what went into developing an economy. From there, went through every certification you can think of, whether that's the economic development finance professional, becoming a certified economic developer, going to the University of Oklahoma's Economic Development Institute. Learned a lot along the way. Did it in Decatur for about 10 years, at first for the EDC. Then I transitioned over to the city of Decatur, so it was more retail focused. I got the government feel for it. From there, moved up to Tinley Park in Chicagoland, which was a great experience where everything was more based off of hotels, restaurants, retail, and plus just the whole vibe and, you know, the access to Chicago, totally different lifestyle. And then whenever this opportunity opened up, we weren't really looking of coming back downstate. My plan was to go to the city of Chicago or even out to DC or a bigger city, but we were always aware of what a great community Bloomington Normal was, and it's always had sustained growth. And so for me, it was going to be a really easy sell to come back down here. My family, on the other hand, my girls were not too excited about leaving, you know, access to the Lincoln Park Zoo, all the concerts and the restaurants. And right off the bat, they said, where's my Trader Joe's? There's no Trader Joe's down here. But we do have fresh time, so there's always been something to get them down here. And once they got down here, they absolutely love the community. A little bit slower, but it's a nice lifestyle, especially where they're at. But yeah, it's great to transition from a manufacturing community in Decatur up to more of a bedroom community in Tinley Park. And then now, you know, down here where we're a mix of a little bit of everything.
That's totally understandable. And that's one thing that always stands out to me when I travel over to Bloomington Normal is just the opportunity and the strong quality of life that you all have. You touched on it a little bit in terms of kind of the industry partnerships and what makes Bloomington Normal such a strong community to live in as well as work in. But can you kind of go into more of that focus of partnerships between industry and government life?
Definitely. I've done this in multiple scenarios. Like I mentioned earlier, I worked for a commercial real estate developer, worked for the government, you know, for the city of Decatur, but also for the village of Tinley Park. And then here, this is a public-private partnership. So this is a great combination of having the city of Bloomington, the town of Normal, McLean County at the table. And McLean County is the same size as Rhode Island. It's the largest county in the state of Illinois. Yeah. So there's about 22 mayors within that county. So it takes a lot of collaboration to get all the governments to work together. But then you bring industry to the table as well for that private sector. And in the beginning, you know, we're definitely known for Illinois State University. I believe it's the oldest university in Illinois. And then also the rise of State Farm. So we are definitely an insurance town with State Farm, Country Financial. But then also, you know, healthcare followed along as we age in place, major employers in healthcare as well. And then now recently, I'd say within the last 4 to 5 years, manufacturing is on the rise. When I came to town about 4 years ago, Rivian Automotive, they're creating their adventure vehicles. They employed about 300 employees. They told us they were probably going to get to 1,000. Since then, they've jumped all the way up to 7,700. So the economy is booming in that aspect. And then at the same time, Ferrero, the makers of the Crunch Bar and a lot of our other favorite chocolates, announced that they are going to do the first North American chocolate production facility here. We're in competition with Canada and Mexico, and that facility is going to be located right next to my house. So hopefully the whole neighborhood smells like chocolate pretty soon. But they did such a great job with that phase. They decided to add on another expansion to where they're going to build or create and manufacture the Kinder Bueno line. So we're traditionally, you know, more of the white collar jobs and now turning into some of the tech collar jobs or the new collar jobs that are associated with some of these manufacturing. And it's just been awesome to see it evolve and then all the new talent coming to the community and seeing how it's just transitioning your already great quality of life and quality of place here.
Oh my gosh, definitely, especially given the impact that a diversified economy can have on a local community. And it's amazing to hear that the size of your county is the size of Rhode Island. It's hard to think about how many mayors and how much collaboration is needed to be able to get things through the finish line along those lines. But at the end of the day, if something happens in one community, it definitely has a ripple effect for all of the county. And so being able to focus on that along with the Twin Cities, huge opportunity. And kind of along those lines, just focusing on the impact of workforce, especially as you have the newer manufacturers coming in, and then you have the legacy of State Farm. What techniques or what platforms are you using from the workforce development and specifically a residential attraction to help kind of increase the awareness of the quality of life of your community?
So we definitely noticed whenever we had a couple developers did not follow through with some of their plans for some residential developments, that there was some gap missing. And so we ended up doing some research on the Bureau of Labor Statistics to try to figure out why aren't our numbers showing up? Because in the beginning, as Rivian grew, they were not being counted. So it always said we had 3,000 manufacturers. And it wasn't until, I believe, the end of last year that it jumped from 3,000 up to 9,000. So the data wasn't there that a developer could take to the bank and say, hey, there is demand. You could see it because if you sit in a Starbucks across from the hotel, there were buses driving around, picking everybody up from the hotels and taking them to Rivian because we ran out of homes. So we ended up doing a housing study. We had to hire some firm to come from down in St. Louis area and to basically say that, you know, here is the actual demand for Bloomington Normal. So that was our first step in letting the developers have a document that they could take to the bank to say that, no, there is demand here. From there, multiple developments have started because our labor shed, we use Placer AI to track how far people are driving in. And we were noticing originally it's about 45 miles. Since then, it's doubled. So there are people that come in that are coming from 90 miles away, Kankakee, you know, all the way down, even in Chicagoland. Sometimes they stay here in a hotel during the week, but it's because we're short on houses. And we noticed that workforce was going to be a challenge, specifically in central Illinois, even though our quality of place is so great. But we were originally going to launch a come home campaign and go after all the alumni. I have a lot of fraternity brothers that went to ISU. They come back and we do our fantasy football draft and we say, hey, would you consider living here? And they're like, definitely. Now that we got a family, I'm ready to slow down. Like, but there's nowhere to live. So for us, it really became this push, not just attracting commercial real estate developers, but we added attracting residential developers to our strategic plan.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine the opportunities that that has just for the overall economy then, because it's an economic development, to a certain extent, dream story. You're able to diversify with industry. And then from that, residents and workforce start to kind of flock to the area. And then at which point you're able to grow your community base from residents wanting to move in. And then you guys are really, from the sounds of it, trying to solve that gap between, okay, we have our workforce that's coming into the community. We have people who want to be residents. Let's try to diversify and expand the residential development of houses and housing opportunities to be able to have a place for them to live so they can enjoy the quality of life 24/7.
That's exactly right. Some of the numbers that we ran with Rivian were actually showing that 45% of their workforce was leaving the county every single night. So that's a major leakage when it comes to some of the wages that could be spent in our restaurants and our retailers they were taking it home. And while we like to see, especially the county development and that ripple effect, it's definitely helping out the Clintons of the world, the Peorias of the world. Morton, I believe, is announcing some new residential products because of Rivian's rapid growth. So as we grow and we can't support, you know, all of that rapid growth, all of our surrounding communities are benefiting as well.
Without a doubt. And it really goes to the fact of economic development in two cases. One, economic development really is a regional focus and being able to collaborate not only in your communities, but also then around your surrounding communities to be able to create that ripple effect. Huge opportunities there. And the importance of teamwork in economic development. We always say, whether it's answering RFIs or for listeners who aren't aware, requests for information for large industrial users, it's a team sport in all senses. And then on the flip side, economic development is no longer just industrial attraction. It's really that three-prong approach of residential attraction, workforce development, and industrial attraction, as along with commercial attraction and just business attraction in general, being able to create a very sustainable, diversified economy to grow on from the local standpoint. And it seems like you guys are doing an awesome job of trying to balance all of that along with just like exponential growth going on top of it.
Yeah, everybody keeps saying it's a good problem to have, but for us, it's still a problem.
It's still a problem. Definitely. Still a problem. You're still working on it. It's still a challenge every single day. Kind of along that line with the team sport factor, because you guys are, it's because you're covering so many bases. Can you elaborate on kind of the collaboration that you have specifically with Corn Belt Energy? For listeners on the line, Corn Belt Energy is one of Wabash Valley Power's, one of our 23 different cooperatives that are in our system. So I'd love to kind of hear how that collaboration works from a local economic developer and the local REMC in their area.
Definitely. So for us, you mentioned earlier, the RFIs, when I began my career, we're lucky to get one or two of those a month. This last couple of months, we've been getting two to three of those a week. And so our available land is almost all Corn Belt territory. So as soon as something comes in, they're looking for a certain amount of acreage. Corn Belt's one of the first people that we have to contact to help answer those questions. Some of them are pretty simple one-pagers. Other ones, I've seen the RFIs and RFPs that are 30 pages long. So we can't answer all those community quizzes by ourselves. We have to rely on our partners for that. But also, you know, we're lucky enough that once we do fill out the RFIs, a lot of times those prospective site selectors or businesses alone come to the community for a familiarization tour. So we have to contact Corn Belt to say, hey, got them coming in town. We're going to do a fam tour. It's time to wine them and dine them. And Corn Belt plays a major role in that to help tell the story. And right now, I think we're getting a lot of hits because there's a lot of reshoring coming back, especially for manufacturing. And they're looking at the power supply that we have here in Central Illinois combined with a lower cost for some of our land. So having those utilities there, it's a major selling point for us. Also, with having two universities and a great community college, that's the beginning of that workforce pipeline. And as you mentioned, you got to have all those. It used to be back when I started, if you build it, they will come. Well, that's no longer the case. Now you have to have that quality of life, that quality of place to keep the talent. But it all starts with infrastructure, which you guys specialize in. So not only from answering the quizzes in the beginning, the RFPs, but once they're here, posting them. And then also, we partnered a lot on going out and telling our story for different site selection conferences. Corn Belt's always at the table. And then also hosting regional familiarization tours with Corn Belt and Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Peoria. We like to say that we, you know, market regionally and sell locally. So getting them in town, having Corn Belt help share that story, that's how we get them here. And a lot of times, once they're here, they realize what they didn't know, that there's more than corn, you know, south of I-80, and that we do have some really good food, a lot of great talent. And that's why we've been developing as much as we have.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's one thing that I really, again, traveling to your guys' communities, the amount of collaboration, specifically with Corn Belt Energy, but really with all of our Illinois cooperatives and their local economic developers, the opportunity that you guys have, I mean, and specifically and for economic development, specifically with Illinois economic development, it really starts at the local and regional level to be able to showcase what all opportunities are there, because each community is so different. I mean, you do have the Chicagoland area, which is very different than the Bloomington Normal area, which is very different than the Carbondale, Illinois area. And so because of that, you're really able to find that perfect place that you want to to find. But with that, the importance of marketing and storytelling, it just comes through time and time again, being able to do that.
Yeah, if you're not telling your story, somebody else is. Because a brand, you know, I can't give myself my own nickname. Someone else has to give me that nickname. So we try to set the table that, you know, once people understand what that message is. Our current branding campaign is workforce-based. When I started, it was all about market to the businesses. They will get here. Now it's all talent-based. So we've got a campaign that's called Life Multiplied that really focuses on how much further your dollar goes here. Personally, coming down from Chicagoland, the house that I live in is the same price and it's twice the size. And so that is the life multiplied. You know, the cost of living is less, your food is less, your houses are less. The dollar goes further here. So using that life multiplied campaign to help tell that story. And really, it's not just about guys like me at my phase in my career. I've got a family. We're really trying to get the students to realize what they have in their own backyard. So we've been utilizing TikTok and Instagram and actually utilizing the name, image, likeness campaigns. So we will pay students to say, hey, just go out in the community and tell us what you love about it. So they'll take over our TikToks and, you know, let kids know that there's more to life outside of the bubble of ISU or Illinois Wesleyan.
That's fantastic. And that's one area that a lot of communities with universities in their backyard really need to take note of, because it always seems like whenever you go to a university town, there's almost that divide. And it's unfortunate, because for students that live there for 4+ years or so, or 2+ years, you don't get to experience the actual place. You just experience the campus, which is wonderful. And that's part of that time of life. But there are opportunities outside of there.
Yeah, no, we even partnered with Illinois State to marketing classes. And we said, hey, we're getting ready to launch this campaign. Can you tell us, can you go do a survey? Go survey 10 of your friends, each of you, and just tell us what it would take to keep you here. And the feedback we got was mind-blowing. They said it'd be great if you had a farmer's market, which we do in downtown Bloomington. So we need to get them there. Another one they said was, it'd be nice if you had more than one brewery. And we're like, we have 7 breweries. Like, how do we get you to go to the other breweries? So for us, it's like, okay, we're obviously not telling our story on the platform that you're using, which is why we switched to more Instagram and TikTok, and even launched the Life Multiplied podcast, where locals just tell their story about what they love about living, working, and playing here in Bloomington Normal.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, Patrick, one question that we always ask our interviewees is, what is a favorite success story that you've had so far in your career? We'd love to hear it. I think success stories are a great way for us all to learn in economic development.
Sure. Man, there's quite a few. Let's go with the Ferrero one. We've already touched on it a little bit. But the idea of getting to the community and seeing that, you know, Ferrero was in our own backyard, and that they had talked about, you know, we're going to actually move all the peanut projects up to Chicagoland. You guys are not going to have the peanut projects, but you're in competition with Canada and Mexico for this basically chocolate factory. So, of course, in economic development, we like to come up with cheesy nicknames for all of our projects. And this one was the Golden Goose right off of Willy Wonka. And, you know, it's just a big project. I mean, you're looking at, you know, at the end, you know, over $200 million and 250 jobs for all of it, and for the state to come together, the locals to come together, amend our enterprise zone, which that has to go through 5 different taxing bodies, got that done, set up a property tax abatement through the whole thing. It was a lot of collaboration with the state of Illinois, all of our local partners, in order to get them lined up for that big expansion. And sure enough, we landed it. And it's a great story, because when you say, Bloomington Normal, most people know State Farm or they know ISU. Recently, they all know Rivian. But now, like, all that chocolate that's going to be made for Ferrero products is right here. That's just one more success story, and a sweet one at that.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Pardon the dad puns.
I love it. That's perfect. That is perfect. So in your expert opinion, as you're looking for the remainder of 2023 and the next few years for economic development, what are you most excited for? What are you seeing for the future?
For us, it's really just laying the groundwork to get as many suppliers as possible. That's why we love manufacturers, because manufacturers have a higher ripple effect. You know, with their location quotients, you know, on the rise for manufacturing in our area, it's bringing in other manufacturers. So that ripple effect, you know, for Rivian suppliers to come in, for Ferrero suppliers to come in, it's nice to see that diversification, because we treat it like a stock portfolio. If everything's really focused on higher ed or healthcare or insurance, you get a little nervous. So with manufacturing coming in, there's so much room for growth, but the big challenge is infrastructure, which you guys are key in, but then also getting the buildings. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but without the talent, it all stops. So again, we're spinning quite a few plates at the same time, but it's all working.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I love your analogy of it's just like stocks. You want to be as diversified as possible. Economics 101, diversification is key to get you where you want to be, no matter where you are, what you're doing. Diversify, diversify, diversify.
Definitely.
Now, Patrick, I've heard that you guys also have a podcast going on. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what the opportunities are there for our listeners to maybe tag along there?
Sure. We have two podcasts right now. One is called Life Multiplied. You can find that on Spotify. But it's all about, you know, the people that live here and love working, playing, and living here, along with some of the retailers and restaurants. And then the other one is called Building BN. And we've been doing that one for a while. And that's more of the industrial or business focus. So you can hear about State Farm and Rivian, and even from some of our developers on what they're looking to develop here.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And what a creative way of storytelling that you guys are capitalizing on. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for your time today. I want to close it out by just asking your final question of any special announcements that you guys have being EDC or anything that we can share about the community that's going on for the rest of this year.
I think the biggest one that we just came out with a couple of weeks ago, was updating the actual demand for our housing study. So originally we did the housing study and it said that we needed about 4,300 units. That was pre-Rivian. We reran the numbers with Rivian's ripple effect and you're really looking at 7,000 to 8,500 units. We've got about 1,000 units planned right now. Still plenty of work to be done. For me, it doesn't matter if it's going to be in a rural community, downtown, uptown. There's, again, diversifying your business portfolio is one thing. Diversifying your residential stock is another. So we're looking forward to working with residential developers because if we don't have the talent, we're not going to get those suppliers. They will end up in our surrounding states because logistically, it's just as easy to get to.
Definitely. Definitely. So that's a call out to any residential developers. If you're looking for the new frontier, the next frontier, go to Bloomington Normal. They are ready to be able to partner with you guys. Definitely. And with that, we'll go ahead and close it out. Patrick, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and hope you all the listeners have a great rest of your day.
Great interview with Patrick and a very important example of how a major employer can transform the community. Thank you, Patrick, for all your time and consideration with this interview. Podcast interview was written by Rachel Huser, produced by Austin Arceo, and hosted by Rachel Huser filling in for Brian Anderson. A huge thank you to all of you listeners to the Co-op Land Economic Development Podcast brought to you by Wabash Valley Power Alliance, the podcast dedicated to covering rural electricity and economic development topics in the Midwest. Catch you next time, Co-op Land.